live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the Vernomatic, and welcome to this week's show. As always, brand new content drops every Thursday night. Visit the website, metalmayhemroc.com. There, load up on past episodes. There's an archive drop-down box. Download, share, review, that kind of stuff helps the bottom line. We have direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, however you consume your podcast content. Do yourself a favor, sign up for the email newsletter. Now, when I tell you this, it's not just, you know, me trying to get you onto the newsletter. It's your chance to win free merchandise. This week, we're giving away another copy of the Rob Helfer book, Confess. We just happened to receive another one in the mail the other day. And we also have a video DVD of the pictures in the Rockers Die Hard Journey from Dean Lorenzo back in January. We had a podcast about the guy that did a great book of meeting rock stars over the past 35 years. So Dean sent me a few of the video DVDs with all the pictures in the book. So it's pretty cool. So go to the website, fill out for the newsletter, and it automatically gets in the drawing. Tonight's show, it's a real good one. They're all good, but tonight is really fun. Today, I had a chance to talk with Nigel Glockler, the drummer of Saxon, 45-year veterans of metal from the UK, part of that new wave of British heavy metal movement. Well, the band just released a covers album called Inspirations. It's a killer album, and it has cover songs from like the Stones, Painted Black, Immigrant Song, Zeppelin, Thin Lizzy. They have some AC/DC on there, some Motorhead, some the Kinks are on there. You know, half metal, half classic, but they put the spin on it like only Saxon can. So Nigel gave me a call and we talked about the album, but then we started talking about, you know, Saxon and the metal world and, you know, just their whole career. It's a great interview. He's a great dude, shares tons of tidbits. So that's what tonight's show is. Want to remind you and invite you to come to the Metal Mayhem ROC live radio show Monday nights on thatmetalstation.com. Now, a lot of you have been checking it out, and I appreciate it. There's a chat room there. It's a totally interactive, and it's our way of staying in touch. I play requests. People in the chat room get to know each other, and, you know, it's pretty cool. So that's Monday nights. Go to our website for directions how to get to it. It's real easy. So that's about it. Metal Forever Mark. Last night we had a chance to do an interview with Roy Z, the guitarist for Bruce Dickinson's solo bands. He wrote a lot of that material with Bruce, and he eventually moved on to help Rob Halford. And when Halford rejoined Priest, and he actually ended up producing Angel of Retribution. So we spent a couple hours talking with Roy Z. That's probably going to end up being one or two episodes. So we got a lot on the docket now. Things are jam-packed. We're in April. Things are getting serious. So I'll be back after with a couple songs leading out of the interview and leading out of tonight's show. For my co-host, Metal Forever Mark, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. And here's a blast of AC/DC. Saxon, Nigel Glockler.
I don't want
So we're excited today to have on the line from Dallas, Texas, drummer of Saxon, Nigel Glockler. Nigel, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. Listen, got to get the obligatory question out of the way. Everyone's safe and healthy.
Yep. Everyone's cool. So
do you live in the States now? You've been here for a year and a half or ever since COVID?
I mean, I was living in Austin for 3 years, just outside Austin. And then, I had to keep going backwards and forwards to the UK for our work and stuff, whether it was recording or doing festivals or gigging in Europe, whatever. And I've just been back actually about a week because, you know, with the COVID thing, everything got put up in the air and I've got to go back again in about 3 weeks to see what's going on again. So it's just nice to be back, so to speak.
Yeah. You have a new album out. The band put something out during the COVID, Inspirations. It's a collection of not so much your favorite songs, but a collection of your favorite bands. And how do you decide which artists to do and which songs from those artists?
Well, I mean, everyone submitted tracks, you know, so, and then we sort of just went through them and sort of figured, yeah, these ones will go. I mean, there were quite a few sort of deeper tracks sort of said, but we thought, well, we'll keep it sort of pretty, you know, the tracks pretty well known and things that sort of influenced us in the past when we were, you know, learning our trade, so to speak, learning our instruments and stuff that sort of still inspires us, shall we say, you know. And then we just sort of hone them down to these 11 tracks that are on the album. And there's two other tracks that are on B-sides of the singles.
Where could I find those?
You might find them on the Saxon site, actually. There's we did a version of Shoot Shoot by UFO.
Okay.
And we did a track by Mountain. One Last Cold Kiss. So as I say, they're on the B side of the single, so they'll be around somewhere on the internet.
All right, well, let's start at the beginning. You have a double dip of you did the Stones, Paint It Black, and Zeppelin. A couple questions. Yeah. Have you ever played with either of those bands, and how far back does the friendship go?
What, the friendship with who? Us or
No, you know, it's besides being contemporaries, you know, you guys grew up together. So you decided to do a Stones song.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met. Well, I've met Ronnie Wood, actually, but I haven't met any of the other guys. So it was just sort of things, you know, just sort of tracks we sort of heard when we were growing up and stuff like that. You know, things that, I mean, you know, I started drumming when I was 7 years old. So I got into music pretty early on. So it was just, you know, it was just stuff that was on the radio and everything, you know.
Sure. What about Zeppelin? Ever have a chance to meet any of those guys or play with them?
Yes, I've met Jimmy Page. Yeah, I met him backstage. I think it was at, who the hell, I'm trying to think, who was playing? I mean, Whitesnake were on the bill. And so I met him backstage. Nice guy. We had a chat about stuff, you know. But I haven't met any of the other guys.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did a little Hendrix. Now, you grew up, or you're from the UK, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Back when Jimmy was coming through the ranks, he relocated over to that area. Back in the day, did you have a chance to see Hendrix in his
form? No, I didn't. Only on TV.
Okay.
You know. Which was annoying because, you know, friends of mine have sort of since said, oh yeah, well, I went to that, or I saw Cream, and I was going, oh, what, you know. I wasn't really going to gigs at that sort of time, you know.
I was thinking about that because in the KK Downing book, KK mentioned that he actually saw a lot of Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
I don't know how close of age you are with KK or in your location of growing up, but were you not going to gigs at that time, or you didn't have a chance to see Hendrix, or?
No, I just wasn't going to gigs. I mean, the first gig I ever went to was Grand Funk Railroad in 71, I think it was. They played a free gig in Hyde Park in London.
Mm-hmm.
with Humble Pie were supporting them when Pete Frampton was still with Humble Pie, just before they bought out Rocking the Fillmore. And that was my first gig. And the second gig was Black Sabbath on the Masters of Reality tour.
Where did you see that? What venue?
In my hometown of Brighton in Sussex, south of England.
Were they as, and I'm familiar with the Sabbath history, Master of Reality, that was like their second or third album. How big?
That was the third album, yeah.
How big of a band were they at that point compared to like now? I'm not now, but like as they escalated through their career.
Oh no, they sort of went up. I mean, that was a sort of gig that it was a gig called the Dome in Brighton, and that was the venue in Brighton really for the major recording artists. You know, I saw Uriah Heep there, Robin Trower.
Ooh.
So you know all those things. If you wanted to, later on, then you went up to London to see to Hammersmith Odeon and stuff, and it was there I saw Kiss on their first ever tour.
Their first tour of
the UK.
The UK. Yeah. What tour was that for them?
Oh God, I'm trying to think. I think that was about the period. I think that was the period when the first a live album came out. I think. Actually, I'm not, to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure. I think it was 73. I think it was 73 or 74 because I bought. There used to be a Virgin Records store in my hometown, and they had an import version of the first album. It was sitting there for weeks. No one was buying it because no one had heard of them.
Yeah.
And I just went in one day and I thought, oh, damn it, I'll try it. So I bought it because I liked the image and I was a converted Kiss fan from then on, you know.
Yeah. Well, they pretty much blew up once that live album came out.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so. That was the one that did it. Yeah.
Now, circling back to Sabbath, on the Inspiration album, you did a cover of Evil Woman.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing here, or the ironic thing here, is over here in the States, that song, which was originally a cover of the Crows.
Yeah.
That wasn't on our version of the first album.
Oh, wasn't it?
No. So growing up all those years, you know, I had the first album. It wasn't on there, and it wasn't made available commercially on a U.S. release until 2002.
So what was on it instead? Or was it just missing?
I'm not sure if it was missing or the single in the States was Wicked World and Evil Woman wasn't on the album.
Interesting.
It was weird because I knew the song from Evil Woman from the original, but then and then it came out, 20 years ago, it was released. So, but the question is, you grew up with that song. Did you know the song from Sabbath, or because there was only a year difference from when the Crows did it to when Sabbath covered it?
Yeah, I only knew it from the Sabbath version.
Okay. That's a cool tune, but it's like a little different than the rest of the Sabbath, even though it was from that time period. I never knew that they didn't write it.
No, at the time I didn't know either when it came out, but it was just one when I got, when I bought the first album. I mean, I got the first album pretty soon after it came out. So it was always that one and the actual track Black Sabbath. Those were the two I was always playing.
Motorhead, you did the Bomber cover.
Yeah.
I got to ask, was that something that you put in, seeing it's a heavy, filthy drum song and bass drum? Bass song?
No, it wasn't. That wasn't one of my choices, actually. But, we were friends with all the Motorhead guys, So I can't remember who suggested that one, actually.
What were you partial to on the Inspiration album?
Evil Woman was one of mine. That was one of mine. And the other one was the Mountain track, One Last Cold Kiss, which is off the Flowers of Evil album, because I was a mega Mountain fan.
Mm. Yeah, you had a tough couple of years. All your guys are passing away.
I know. It's like, but I always remember because you know, I'm still back in the day and still now, I was a massive Cream fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Felix Pappalardi produced a couple of Cream albums. And when I suddenly heard he was in this, what was being touted as the American version of Cream, you know, back in the day, I suddenly thought, who the hell are these guys? And I had to buy it. So I went and bought Mountain Climbing, you know, which had Mississippi Queen on it. And after that, I just sort of bought every Mountain album that came out.
So you discovered them by the recommendation of the Cream producer.
Yeah, because he was the bass player.
Yeah, how many times has that happened? You
exactly
when your idols recommend something. Going into the deep tracks on this, I see there's one American release on here, Toto.
Yep.
Great band, but how did that get on there? It's sort of different than the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, actually, that's the one that's getting the most notice, actually. No, you know, a couple of us are real sort of into Toto. I mean, Jeff Beccaro is a great drummer. Funnily enough, it would have been his 67th birthday today, actually. No, he was a great player, you know. And no, good band. And, you know, we did some festivals with them a few years ago and everything. So I met them all and everything. So it was just something, you know, we thought let's try this and see what we can bring to the table with it. And I think it's worked really well.
We're speaking with Nigel Glockler, drummer of Saxon, the brand new Inspiration album out, a collection of some of the band's favorite songs, favorite artists. I have a question from a listener.
Okay.
Jimmy Neff of the Bronx, huge Saxon fan. He wanted me to ask you,
okay,
what is your favorite Saxon album and what is your favorite song to perform live? And and he asked me to tell you, Vernomatic, please tell Nigel Saxon are great and thank you for the 40 plus years. Jimmy from the Bronx.
Well, Jimmy from the Bronx, first of all, thank you for that. And thanks for being a fan. You know, we really do appreciate that. Favorite album. Oh, God. Each album's got its own sort of identity for me. You know, Power and the Glory was an important album for me because it was the first studio album I did, and it was where I sort of had to put my mark on the band, so to speak. You know, I had to prove myself because Pete Gill, the previous drummer, you know, he had a lot of fans. He was a great player, but that was an important one for me.
Sure.
Another favorite album of mine is Sacrifice. But each album's got its own sort of, you know, memory for me, shall we say. So I couldn't possibly pick one. They've all got songs on there that are favourites. And as regards live, I mean, I enjoy playing things like This Town Rocks. There's lots of stuff. I can't really nail it down to one or two. I just couldn't do it, you know. What I enjoy is, you know, sometimes if we've been out on the road for a long time, you know, we might suddenly pull one out of the hat that we haven't played for a long time. You know, that's always fun.
Yeah, is it to the point now? Sometimes bands when they go on tour, and I don't consider Saxon one of those bands where they have to play 10 to 12 songs, no ifs, ands, or buts. Do you feel you do have the luxury of going back into catalog or playing a couple extra new songs off the new one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of thing we do. I mean, we sort of jiggle around with the set list every tour, you know. Obviously, you've got to play. There's certain favorites that fans expect. But I mean, again, fans have got their own favorites. I mean, what some fans might like one track, other fans might hate it or don't want to hear it anymore. You know, so you just can't please everyone. But we try and keep it, you know, we try and play something for everyone, you know, off a lot of the albums. But obviously you can't play everything. Otherwise you'd be on stage for a week.
Yeah, you know? Sure, you've been doing this long enough that you know trial and error.
Exactly. And the other thing is certain tracks work great on a tour, but then you might have to change it to a, you know, if you're doing a festival.
Yep.
Because obviously a festival is more party spirit, I guess, you know.
And, you know, a lot of variables, set length and location.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you could get away with a different set list over in Europe as opposed to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, that's true as well. You know, when we come on tour the States, we might, you know, change the set list around a little bit.
Moving forward, what's going on with the Saxon camp?
Right. Well, we were due to play. I mean, we had a load of festivals due to play last year. Obviously, when the COVID thing hit, a lot of them got cancelled or postponed. There's one UK festival, I think, that's supposedly happening in August, a festival called Bloodstock. And I think as per it was going to be last year, we're sort of on the bill with Judas Priest, which would be quite nice to see them again. We're on directly before them, actually. Whether that'll happen this year, I don't know, because it all depends on how the pandemic fans out. Apart from that, the next shows we've got are January, because, you know, we had the 40th anniversary shows, which got postponed, which have been postponed twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, I mean, they were due to be played this May, but it's too soon. You know, there's not going to be any big gigs happening then. So they've been put back to next January. And around that time, we'll be releasing a new original album stuff, you know, of original stuff, which was due to be released this February. But again, with the pandemic, the record company didn't want to release it without us touring. So hence, they said, why don't you do a covers album? You know, because now we've got a gap in the schedule. You know, we're not releasing your new original album. So why don't you do a covers album? We can release that in place of it. And, you know, give you again. So that meant that the new original album wasn't quite completed. The guys are finishing off the last few bits as we speak. Obviously because the Inspirations album took preference over doing that, because there was no rush to get this other album finished. So that's what's going on. So presumably, you know, if everything's okay in 22, then we'll be touring.
Now, when you're doing Inspirations and the yet entitled New Saxon, was it a file sharing thing? Were you guys in the same area? Or, well,
no, we got together. We did a bit of a Led Zeppelin, actually. We went into a stately home.
Oh, really?
Which was really cool. Yeah, it was someone Biff knows someone that takes care of this stately home, and the family aren't actually living there at the moment because it's going through some, I think they're having the electrics renewed and some of the plumbing and stuff. So, and because I think another member of the family is moving back into it once this is done. So they said, yeah, sure, you know, you can use that. So that's what we did. We set the guitarists were set up in the library. The thing was that there was no heating in the house because no one was living there. And, so the only heating was in the kitchen, because there's like a stove in there that's always on. It's like, whether it's gas or coal, I'm not quite sure. It's a thing called an Arga. Mm-hmm. And it does the heating around the house, but the house heating was actually turned off. And the only other, so that was that. So we were hanging out in the kitchen all the time just for the warmth. And where the guys were was in the library, and there was a log burner in that. So they had that going. Where I was in the stairwell, there was no damn heating at all. So a good job I was drumming. So I sort of worked up a sweat there. Otherwise, I would have been freezing.
Nigel, let me ask you something. When you joined the band in 1981, did you, in your wildest dreams, think you would still be doing this 40 years later?
No, I really didn't think, because there was a sort of thing, you know, even before then, there was a sort of thing sort of in the sort of early 70s and late 60s. There was a sort of seemed to be this thing. Oh, well, if you're 25, 26, you're too old, you're gone, you know, Oh, yeah, 30, yeah. Which is a load of bull anyway. But no, who knew what could go on, you know? I sort of had a feeling I could still be doing music in some form, but the fact that the band's gone on this long, I think it's great. And again, you know, I've just got all the fans to thank for that, because, you know, without them, we wouldn't be here. So thank you to all of you.
How have you seen the new fans? Younger? Have you, you've been at it for so long? Have you seen a generational turnover?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get youngsters up the front all the time, every year. Every year there's youngsters there. So it's great. As you say, there's a generation sort of generation turnover. But, you know, we get all through the generations we have. You know, the audience is totally mixed.
That's awesome, because you'll never see me up in there. I don't think I could. But, you know, it's a young kids area. But yeah, that's awesome. You know, you just don't stick around that long.
I mean, the thing is as well, which we try to do, which is, you know, depending on some gigs, obviously club gigs in the States, you know, there's an age limit, you know, which is a drag, because so a lot of the real youngsters can't get in. But mm-hmm. when we play sort of arenas and stuff, I think that's allowed. But, you know, in Europe, definitely we get a lot of youngsters in.
In Europe, are they still doing a little more festival, like general admission, as opposed to seating and reserved in the States?
No, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the gigs in Europe aren't seated. You know, a lot of the gigs we play aren't seated. But, I mean, even Hammersmith Odeon, they've taken the seats out of it now. Whether they put them back for certain things, I couldn't tell you. But I mean, you know, the last times we've been there, all the seating on the main area has gone, but they're still seating up in the balconies and stuff.
Yeah, the days of that here in the States, the hockey arena tours, you know, those are like non-existent now. It's you know, it's the shed tour, the outdoor summer amphitheater tour, and that's all reserved seating.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know what the Saxon tour is. Maybe, you know, last time you were here, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the Deep Purple Judas Priest. No, you guys were with Judas Priest and Black Star Riders when I saw you.
That's right. Yeah, we were in the middle.
Yeah. So it depends on the tour, but there's a couple show segments we like to have fun with our guests, and one of the segments is called the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
So in this segment, Nigel, I like to ask the guests their top four of something, hence the Mount Rushmore. So I'm going to ask you, if you can, off the top of your head, and have fun with this, sir, the top four best tour stories that you could share with us throughout the years.
Oh, God.
And, you know, just something that comes to mind, something that someone listening to this will be like, oh, no shit, that sounds cool.
Yeah, no, it was funny, actually, talking about this. It was like a few years ago, a guy contacted me, and he was doing a book about drummers. So he just wanted drummer stories. So this kind of reminds me of it. I'm trying to think. Okay, one episode was we were trying. When I was doing a solo, I thought, well, we'll try out the Flaming Sticks thing. So we had that. I had, you know, what would happen was I was doing the solo, and then the lights would drop, well, go out actually, and my tech would have these other pair of sticks with stuff wrapped around them with wire and stuff, you know, like sort of material, and he'd soak them in lighter fluid, right? And so the idea was, you know, the lights went down, he'd light these things and hand them to me, and then I'd start sort of bashing around the kit, you know, with these lighted things hitting cymbals and stuff, and then I'd hand them back to him, and then continue, the lights were gone, and I'd be back on my normal sticks. Or for a while, actually, we had some sticks with some pyros in the end that shot out about 10 feet. And so I'd pass those, and then that would be in the dark as well. And then he'd hand me the other sticks. Well, I remember one time, I was doing this solo, and the wire holding the material came off, and the material, which was like absolutely on fire, unwrapped itself with a stick and wrapped itself around my wrist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I sort of threw the stick out my hand. You know, I threw the sticks back. He wasn't ready. And where he was sitting behind me, he had a towel where he catched the drips from the lighter fluid when he was loading the sticks up. And I threw this stick back. It hit the towel and the whole thing went up. Basically, I set my drum tech on fire.
Yeah. So your experiment with lit sticks lasted one gig?
Oh, no. We got it together after that. That was just this one. This was just this one thing when this damn, you know, the stuff holding the rag in place just came off. And as I said, the rag unfurled and wrapped itself around my left wrist, you know, so I just threw the things back behind me, you know. But no, after that, we got it together. So I used it for a long time, actually. Going on from that one, and then after I'd put the... Actually, I've got to sort of stop there because he wasn't hurt. I've just got this vision of his horrified face with these sort of 3-4 foot high flames behind him. You know? And then another time after that, it would be then he'd hand me the sticks with the paros in. And there'd be a guy at the side of the stage that would be ready to press the button and set them off. And stupidly, I stood up and held these things in front of me, waiting for him. And stupidly, I turned them back towards me as if what's going on? They haven't gone off for a split second. And quickly, I rushed them back to the front and they went. I mean, thank God they didn't go off while I was looking at them.
Yeah.
You know, they were literally 6 inches from my face. You know, I just thought, what's happened to them? Oh, and I put them... flipped them back and they went bang. And they used to go out about 10, 15 feet, these things.
When did you drop all pyrotechnics with drum equipment from the set?
Well, it's sort of because, you know, I don't know if it's the same over here, but I guess it is. In England, you've got to get a license to use sort of pyros like that. And the fire brigade have to come in and check everything out to make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
You know, and in the end, it just got ridiculous. So we thought, no, we'll do this. And, so we sort of stopped doing it.
best place for people to search out any Saxon-related information, news, tour, www.saxon747.com. That's the best location.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we've got that. We've got a Facebook. So any of the Saxon things like that, I think there's a Saxon Instagram, I think, I don't know. I don't sort of really.
Yeah.
I don't sort of really get involved with social media that much, you know.
Well, we'll outline that all on our.
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, there's everything there. The Saxon site, and on there will be the links to everything else. So.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to Saxon in 2022. You're hoping the new album, early 22.
Yeah. It should be January, February.
Do we have a working title yet, or that hasn't been released?
No, that hasn't been sorted out yet.
All right. Well, Nigel, thank you for spending the afternoon with us. You know, sorry about the mix-up again.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. You know, it's been great.
Yeah. You know, we'll push the new product in. We're always a fan of Saxon.
Great. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay. Have a good day, sir.
Thanks. All the best.
Attention metalheads, we all want to return to concert venues soon. Introducing Metal Mayhem ROC Metal Forever Freedom X Sanitizer. This sanitizer product is water and foam based, manufactured with proprietary HYIQ solution. That's right, no alcohol, but more effective. Manufactured following FDA sanitizer monograph guidelines. It applies smooth without irritating the skin. Safe for all ages. Keep your friends and family safe with Metal Mayhem ROC's own sanitizer. Visit Metal Mayhem MROC.com or metalforever.com to order your bottles now. Use promo code METAL at the Freedom X checkout store for a show discount. Now back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Nigel Glockler, Saxon. He's been in the band since 81. Great dude. The new album, Inspirations, cover release. Just because, you know, it's COVID. You heard the interview. So I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to leave you with a couple more tracks from this. I just want to remind you about the Monday night live radio show, Metal Mayhem ROC Live. That's on thatmetalstation.com. Thank you for your support. Get to our website, listen to some of the past shows, and sign up for the newsletter. For Metal Forever Mark, I'm the Vernomatic. You've been listening to Metal Mayhem ROC, and I'm going to leave you with two tracks from the Inspirations Saxon release. Until next week, always remember, keep it heavy.
TV Radio.
See you in front.
Metal for life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.